Lesson 21. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, resuming our study at verse 5. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity, if necessary, to use the rebound technique to ensure the filling of God the Holy Spirit. What is the rebound technique? It's a technical theological term developed by Colonel Thieme, but it's been around for a very long time. It's in many verses in the Bible. It's in your handout, but 1 John 1:9 is the one we cite most often. It says quite simply, if we name our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This recognizes the fact that even though you're saved and you have the righteousness of God imputed to your soul, you still sin. You will still sin in time. You can't stop sinning. And this is in 1 John 1:8, 1 John 1:10, which is sandwiched between these two verses. Makes it very clear that you still sin to the day you die. So if you want to tell somebody that you're a much better person now and you don't sin anymore, save it. It's not true. Any person with common sense knows that's not true. So when you do sin, now that sin was judged on the cross when Christ was on the cross in 30 AD. So it doesn't get you unsaved. You can't get unsaved. That's the top circle. We've got a bottom circle. We've got a top circle, eternal security. Once you believe that Christ died for your sins, you're in the top circle. It's called eternal security. You can never get unsaved. But you will still sin. So God's made provisions to get you into fellowship. When you commit a known sin, I stole bubblegum at Valero today. You simply say, Father, I stole bubblegum. Oh, I didn't feel sorry about it. You don't have to feel sorry about it. Boom. You're now back in fellowship. You're commanded to stay in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. And that's the doctrine of rebound, which is not our subject today, but it's in the book. So, what we do in this Bible class is we spend a few moments before we begin our Bible study to give each of us the opportunity, if necessary, to use this technique to ensure the filling of God the Holy Spirit. You name a known sin, and you're back in fellowship. And it cleanses you from all the unknown sins, because a lot of sins that you do, you don't even know they're a sin. Yet, an unknown sin will put you out of fellowship and put you in the cosmic system that we studied this morning. Because when you sin, you're out of God's system and you're in the cosmic system. Again, you can't lose your salvation. Impossible. But you can be in Satan's cosmic system, and he is a genius. You haven't got a chance. So, you want to stay in God's divine dynasphere. That's a term that Colonel Thieme developed as well. And of course, that's in your handout that you have. So, with that in mind, let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the fact that you knew about us billions of years ago. You made provisions to save us. You also made provisions to advance us in your plan to be a mature believer. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 again. It says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We studied this in detail this morning, so I won't go over it again. But it talks about the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? Well, people say that they love God. All right, let me see if you love God. This is a box here. We call this the essence of God box. Can you tell me the 10 things that are in this box that the Bible clearly identifies? Now, I'm not going to give you a quiz, but we might start out with, well, God is eternal life. The Bible says he is. God is perfect love. The Bible says he's love. The Bible said he's omniscient, which means he knows everything. Never was a time when he didn't know everything. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, able to do anything. He's also omnipresent. These are the three O's. Those are easy. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. He can't be reduced to one spot. He's also said to be sovereign. He has sovereignty. He makes decisions over his works. He's also immutability. He cannot change. The God of the Old Testament is exactly the same as the God of the New Testament. He's immutable. He's veracity. He absolutely always tells the truth. Always. He is also perfect happiness. We put a plus H here. Perfect happiness. There never was a time when God wasn't happy. Now, how many people could name these things in the essence box? And which one have I left out? I left out the one that's most important of all, because that's our point of contact. This is this one, folks. He's absolutely holy. Now, his holiness has two segments to it. It has his righteousness, perfection, and his justice. Righteousness and justice. When the Jews were wandering around the wilderness, God commanded them to build an ark, which they did. The ark was made of pure acacia wood, which is a wonderful type of wood. But it was overlaid with pure gold. And inside the ark, which is a box, it's a box, it had a lid on it. The lid was called the mercy seat. But you can take the lid off, you put the lid back on. So it's made out of wood, acacia wood, covered in pure gold. The whole thing's covered in gold. On top of the lid sat two angels. And their heads were bent down as they were gazing at the center of the top of the lid. Inside the box, there were some things inside the box. Here's another quiz. What's in the box? Well, we had Moses' law. They broke the tablets. Remember Moses broke them? We saw them doing all this stuff. Also had a rod. This is his idiot brother, Aaron. Had a rod that budded. That's another whole story. Also had a golden pot of manna, that food that God gave him in the wilderness. These things, this speaks of man's rejection of God's laws. This speaks of man's rejection of God's authority. This speaks of man's rejection of God's provisions, which if we just sum it all up, it's sin. Now, what do these two angels represent? Well, what does the box represent? The wood represents the humanity of the Messiah. The gold represents deity. He's true man and he's true God in one being forever. That's what the box represents. What do these angels represent? One angel represents the righteousness of God. The other angel represents the justice of God. And once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, as that's where they stored this Ark of the Covenant. And he would sprinkle blood in the middle on the top of the lid. Once a year, Day of Atonement. The righteousness of God would look at it, the justice of God would look at it, because both these angels were designed very specifically to peer down at the middle. And so what are they looking at? The righteousness and the justice. What's the blood represent? The work of Christ on the cross, who died for you and for me. That's what that blood represents. So they look at it. It covers what? Sin in the box. It's covering sin. And they look at it and they're satisfied. Now they're looking forward to the cross in time. We look back. It hadn't happened yet when they did these rituals. But everything in the Old Testament speaks about the work or the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what this represented. So the holiness of God has to be satisfied. God's only satisfied. What covers the sin is the work of Christ. That's what that animal represented. So this is the essence of God. This is also called, this is God. This is the knowledge of God. God is perfect. He's not Santa Claus. You want to live with God forever, you must be perfect. That's why we're saved. The second you say, I believe in this, you receive this. They did that in the Old Testament too. They got the righteousness of God imputed to their soul. Therefore, God looks into your soul and he says, I'm satisfied. My righteousness is satisfied. Therefore, my justice, which is the other one, my justice can bless you. And you're in. So, the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? Turn to page 18 of your Bible doctrine handout, because this is it. This is exactly what you are supposed to do with your life on this planet. Now, before we read this, and I don't think we're going to get through it today, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Where's Proverbs? Well, just close your eyes and go to the middle of your Bible, and it kind of falls open in the middle. Oh, wow, it worked. In fact, I only got two pages off where I'm supposed to be. Proverbs 8. What is this thing called Bible doctrine? We'll get to it in just a second. Let's look at the doctrine of Bible doctrine, but keep your thumb on Proverbs 8. First point, the highest virtue in the Christian life, and I'm assuming everyone here is a believer. If you haven't believed that Christ died for your sins, well, just take a second, close your eyes, say, Father, I believe that Christ died for my sins, now you're a believer. Oh, that's too easy. It wasn't easy for Christ. And if God is love, and he is love, he made it easy. God doesn't hide the ball. But our point of contact with God is not his love. Our point of contact is not his eternal life. Our point of contact is none of these attributes of God's. Our point of contact is this. That's our guarantee. And it's backed up by veracity. God can't lie. If He says you're in, you're in. Immutability. He can never change. So that's our guarantee. Our grandparents, they didn't have this as a point of contact in the Garden of Eden. What was their point of contact with God? This one, love. As long as they didn't sin, God could have fellowship with them. That's a very shaky relationship because it's conditional. Our relationship is unconditional. You can set up a storm. You can go out and say, I want to go out and do this sin. Let's say you want to get out and get drunk on Friday. You're anticipating getting drunk. Your friends are coming into town. And you're going to fornicate. Or you're going to gossip. Whatever the sins are. And you're looking forward to it. Oh, a Christian can never do that. Yeah, they can. Absolutely they can. So you go out and do all these things. You're saved before you do it. You're saved while you're doing it. And you're saved after you did it. Now, there's a thing called divine discipline. It says, who I love, I will skin you alive with a whip. So you don't get away with anything. But you can't lose your salvation. Not at all. Even if you intentionally sin. Because a lot of these phony baloney Christians say, well, I sin, but I really don't mean it. I really don't want to. They're hypocrites. Of course you wanted to. That's why you did it. You just gave in to your old sin nature. Anyway, the highest virtue is the knowledge of Bible doctrine, which is the mind of Christ. Jeremiah 9:23-24, Ephesians 3:18, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Quote, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who's we? It's Paul and the pastor teachers that he's training. What did Paul do when he established a church? He sent a Bible teacher to them to teach them. They have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The knowledge of God, Bible doctrine. And so, Bible doctrine stands for the concept, it's the complete revelation by God to man of the mind of Christ. Bible doctrine was in existence before the world was created. It was in the mind of God. And that's 1 Peter 1:23. The Father is said to be Bible doctrine, Hebrews 4:12. The Son is said to be Bible doctrine, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The Holy Spirit is said to be Bible doctrine. All Scripture is God-breathed, Hebrews 3:7. Point two, we're commanded to learn Bible doctrine, Proverbs 8:33, which we're going to study Proverbs here real quickly. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. How do you get wise? Somebody has to teach you. And that's how you do it. Point three, all believers begin the Christian life as an idiot, as a baby. All you can do is poop and cry. That's it. That's what babies do. And same as you, as a believer, you're ignorant of anything about God. In fact, many Christians that have been saved for 10 years, they couldn't put two of these things in this box. They have no idea. What happened on the cross? No idea. Well, what's this eternal security stuff? No idea. What's 1 John? I don't know. What's this? Never heard of it. What's Satan's cosmic systems? Have no idea. What about this? Can you tell me what the Ark of the Covenant is all about? What up with that? Don't know. And of course, we were all there. I was there. You were there. We're all there. We're all babies. Somebody has to teach us, which means you have to make a decision in your soul. I want to learn. I want to know about my Creator. And if you say that in your mind, God has to give you a teacher. Oh, but Atticott, I can read it for myself. No, you can't. Impossible. God has set up a system of authority where certain men only, women do not have this gift. That's what the Bible says. So, take it up with God, ladies. Women only have the gift of pastor, men only have the gift of pastor, and only a few men do. That's just the way it is. It's a system of... Now, women can reach the highest rank in heaven along with a man. In fact, the woman that knew the most Bible doctrine, or the person that knew the most Bible doctrine when Christ rose from the dead, who do you think it was? John, Peter, James, these idiots? It was a woman. And her name, she was a former prostitute. Her name was Mary Magdalene. That's why she got to see Christ first. Why did she get to see him first? Because she applied Bible doctrine. She knew the mind of Christ more than those other men idiots. That's why she got to see him first. Now, some of the prostitutes that heard the gospel became believers. Do you think they all quit being prostitutes? Yeah, no, they didn't. You're very naive if you think, oh, I just had a magical lifestyle change. No, some of them kept on being prostitutes. Some of them didn't, some of them did. And they'll all be in heaven because once you're saved, you're saved. What you do after you're saved is up to your own volition, what you want to do. Now, Mary Magdalene, she decided to stop. She was a high class. She wasn't one of these $5 prostitutes. She was like a $5,000 prostitute. She was very expensive, very highly sought after. Okay, so point three, you've got to be taught before you can apply it. You can't apply doctrine to your problems in life. Yes, we all got problems, but doctrine is a problem-solving device. But if you don't know the doctrine, you can't solve the problem. Here's one problem. I'm going to go to hell because I did some sin. Okay, here's the information to solve that problem. Bam. Bam. You ain't going to hell. Now the problem is solved. I don't have a guilt complex anymore. Thank you, Lord. I've just solved the problem of me not knowing that I'm saved because I heard the doctrine and I believe the doctrine. I know that God cannot lie. So that's very relaxing. You're not looking over your shoulder every day of your frickin' life wondering, am I good enough to go to heaven today? And that's very relaxing. Most Christians, you know what they say? If you would ask most Christians, are you saved? What are they going to say? I hope so. I don't know. You couldn't do any worse if you could slap God in the face. Because you're calling God a liar. Of course, they don't know what God is. They know nothing. They're babies. So you got to forgive them. We were all babies at one time. But if they want to know, God will bend over backwards to give them the information. But most believers, they don't want to know. They're content to live their lives in basically, me I know. That's a good Greek word. Miano was the substance they put in the chamber pot, and in the morning you threw it out the window, called Miano. And that's what they are. They love to eat up Miano. They should just eat it like oatmeal. They don't care about God. Oh, I love Jesus. I love God. Really? Here, again, tell me something about God. They'll sing me a song. Jesus loved me, this I know. Well, the Bible tells me so. Yeah, okay. You're really a spiritual giant. Okay, so here's some of the verses. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-2. You are babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk, which is baby Bible doctrine, and not with meat, which is the advanced Bible doctrine. They can't take the advanced stuff. We are, ladies and gentlemen, in advance. When we talk about the cosmic system, this is advanced Bible doctrine. This morning I showed you this coin, which represents evil. One side has sin, but the other side has human good. Human good is evil. It's rotten to the core. That's advanced Bible doctrine. You're not going to get that as a baby. You've got to hear it a lot of times before it breaks through and you understand what evil really is. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's us. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's how you grow up. Not by doing good deeds, but by learning Bible doctrine. You grow up. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what God commands you to do. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge, information, information, information. Hebrews 6:13, for he is a babe. Now, sometimes we say in our culture today, she is a babe. But this is not what we mean. That means you are an idiot. Basically, we studied Hebrews before. You can get the tape in there and put it in your car when you're driving to and from work. Great time to learn. Listen to Bible doctrine instead of the nonsense that's on the radio. Point four. God desires that all believers reach maturity. That's God's directive will for your life. He wants you to reach maturity. 1 Timothy 2:4. And He's provided a way for you to do it. He gave you the clothes, the cars, the money, the logistical support, and He gave you a communicator of Bible doctrine. He rubbed your nose right in it. And so it's up to you. Are you going to stay or are you going to fall away? You got your hand on the plow right now, as the Bible says. A lot of people take their hands off the plow and away they go. Plow keeps going. Mule keeps pulling the plow, but you ain't there anymore. Oh, you'll be in heaven. And you can come on my plantation and I'll call you a loser. And you'll know you're a loser. Because you turned your back on what God told you to do. Because something else was more important to you. What's more important than your Creator giving you an order? That's what I want to know. Please let me know. If you find out, let me know. I'd love to find out what's more important when your Creator tells you to do something and you say no. Really? Good job. Okay, that's irony or sarcasm. the doctrine of heathenism under point 4. There's never such a thing as a person that never had a chance to be saved. Impossible. Why? Because God is absolutely fair. That's part of His justice. He's absolutely fair. Every human gets a chance to be saved. No such a thing as a human that never had an equal opportunity to be saved. There's no such a thing as a believer that didn't have an equal opportunity to grow up to a mature believer from a baby. Well, all humans aren't saved. Of course they're not saved because they don't want it. And if you're on negative signals in your soul and you say, I don't want it, even if somebody from the dead stood in front of you and said, here's how you're saved, partner, they would say every time the answer is the same, no. And if you're a born-again believer, a Christian, and you want to reach maturity, the best communicator in the world could teach you doctrine and you would say no. Because you don't want it. Christ taught Bible doctrine to His disciples. As I illustrated, they didn't learn diddly squiddly. After 3 years of Bible class, they're morons. I mean, it's amazing. Can you imagine sitting in Bible class for 3.5 years with a perfect communicator and you don't learn anything? What in the hell were these people doing for 3 years? One might wonder. I had 5 hours of sleep last night. So, it's just a marvel. Negative volition is a marvel. And we can illustrate that many times. So if you have some hottie you want to go out on a date and they say no, you say, well, why not? I've got this, that, and I just don't want to. Or vice versa. When somebody says no, it's no. That's it. And when a human soul's on negative volition, they're not going to respond to God. And God doesn't force you to do anything. He's a perfect southern gentleman. He will not force you to do anything. He'll give you the offer. Would you like to go out with me to the movies? No. Okay, bye. But he gives the offer of salvation. Every human gets a chance. That's another doctrine. We're not studying that today. That's advanced Bible doctrine. So if you're a new baby, you're not going to get the doctrine of heathenism right off the bat. You're going to scratch your head and say, well, what about the people in Africa in the 7th century? How's that work? What about babies that die? What about morons? We've answered all that many times. We can't stop today and do it. 4a, I give you, because people, well, what's the documentation for all this stuff? Well, here's a whole bunch. I just, instead of quoting the verses, I just wrote the verses out for you. Pick any verse at random. And these are all commands. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15, because I quote this every time we do a Bible class. Where do you think I get that stuff from? The Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:13 in F. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard from me, of me. That's where you got it from. C. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be a baby. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? May be mature. That's how you get to maturity. Let's do B. Ephesians 3:18. That you may be able to comprehend, understand with all the believers what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God. You can know all about God. Everything in this Bible, you can know it. There's nothing in here that you cannot know. Oh, I don't understand that verse. Nobody can figure that out. Yeah, it can be figured out. There's nothing too hard in here at all. God has put these things in here, but the trick is, it doesn't do you any good in this Bible. It's like food in your pantry. Can of beans, you can't get to it without a can opener. Then you got to eat it. Same with this. You've got to get to it. And my goal is to take it from here and put it in your brain, in your soul. And that's what we do here, day after day after day, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, for years. And sometimes we get big groups, and sometimes it's down to a remnant of two or three. But my mission is not to count heads. It's God the Holy Spirit's mission to get people in here, not my job. You didn't see me going out and grabbing people by the collars, they dragging them in. I just casually put out the word, but I don't browbeat people. It's God the Holy Spirit's job to get people to listen to Bible doctrine, not my job. My job is to teach it. Well, there's 10 or 200 or 2,000. But you will notice that most accurate Bible churches that teach Bible doctrine, the numbers are small. Because they don't want it. They want to go to the mega church where they strum the guitars, ride ponies, eat fried chicken, and they have all sorts of little gimmicks. They have the young people's group, and the divorced couples group, and the old folks group. And then they have all sorts of, we're going to help people make peanut butter sandwiches at the old folks' home. It's just all nonsense. They couldn't tell you anything about this to save their lives. They don't know anything. Well, they can sing a couple of songs. Why don't they know anything? Because their pastor doesn't teach them anything. Why doesn't he teach them anything? He doesn't know anything. You cannot learn from someone that knows nothing. If I'm teaching civil procedure, I know nothing about civil procedure, that class ain't going to go too far, is it? Of course not. Same thing with Bible doctrine. You've got to find someone that knows the Bible, knows the original languages, and has studied for at least 10, 15, 20 years before they should even open their mouth. But most people get gimmicks. It's all gimmicks. If you turn off the volume at a church and you see them swaying around and raising their hands and clapping and all these, or the Catholics are actually more solemn. They're marching and looking down and all shucks and counting beads and stuff. So there's different variations. Some of them are somber and some of them are happy, 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 Jesus loving you, smiling at each other. It depends. It's just two extremes of idiots on both sides. They don't know anything. There's no knowledge of God. And all these commandments, doesn't mean a thing to me. Okay, point five. To love God, you've got to learn about God. That's point five. Lots of verses there. Read these on your own time. Lots of verses. And then point six. There's a gift that God bestows on an undeserving male. It's called the gift of pastor-teacher. The Bible very clearly says that females do not have this gift. So if you see some ghoul that's a female on TV portraying herself to be a pastor, she is way out of line. She is in some type of a psychotic event. Plus, they're not teaching doctrine anyway. They're nuts. It's all the ladies' group where they get together with little coffees and they just blind leading the blind. All emotionalism. And basically, they break down to talking about bad-mouthing their husbands. You can get around to it sooner or later. Or their boyfriends or whatever. Did you see what they did? It's just a gossip session. The Bible is very clear about who has this gift. But a lot of people, it offends them. So they get their scissors. I'm going to cut out those verses. Because it offends my worldview. How dare God say that? Really? The Bible is either all true or it's not true. You can't take out the little parts that you like and cut out the parts that you don't like. For example, some people don't like the fact that there's a hell. Well, just cut all that out. God's Santa Claus. Surely he'll let everybody in. Won't he? That's what Satan said. Satan's a genius. He said, if you love me, and how could a God of love send his creatures to hell? Brilliant. And, of course, the Bible answers that question. The answer is, I don't send anybody to hell. I've made a provision to save every human. You send yourself to hell. There's the answer in a nutshell. God's not responsible for you going to hell. You are. God has done everything compatible with his essence to save you. This is the easiest thing in the world. All you got to do is say, I'll take it. Islam, Buddhism, Hindu, those aren't easy. You got to be good, do good, feel good, count bees, do this. They never tell you you're in. You got to work all your life. You think that's easy? That's not easy. Try being moral for the whole of your life. That's hard. Try doing every little ritual and giving money and pilgrimages and all that crap. That's a heavy burden. As Christ said, come unto me, all you that are heavy burdened. What are they heavy burdened with? Religion burdens you down to the ground. It grinds you up. It keeps you with a guilt complex. And Christian churches do this as well. They get you in a guilt complex. They never tell you you're eternally saved. Nope. Because I got you right under your thumb all the time, brother or sister. They won't give you the good news. The good news is you can't lose your salvation. I don't care if you stand up on top of this building and renounce Christ. It just means you're an idiot. Just like you stand up here and renounce your parents, it means you're an idiot. Your parents will always be your parents. You're just proving you're an idiot. So, once you're in, you're in. There's no sin you can commit to get out. Because Christ died for all those sins. He didn't say, oh, that sin on 2017 that Julie's going to do, I think I'm going to bypass that one. The Bible says he died for every sin that every human ever did, past, present, and future, the doctrine of unlimited atonement. So even if you just have half a freaking brain, just use logic. He died for that sin you're going to do Friday night. I'm not following you around on Friday night. I'm just using illustrations. He died for the sin I'm going to do on Saturday. Because I've got to rebound a lot when I look at these idiot candidates running for office these days. In any event. So the pastor teacher, his job is to communicate Bible doctrine to you. We're going to cover this doctrine in more detail later in our study of 2 Corinthians. Because the Corinthians were bad-mouthing Paul, who was their pastor teacher. And he has something to say about that, so we'll save that for later on. Point 7, knowledge of Bible doctrine leads to spiritual adulthood, to grow in grace. It makes you a mature believer, and that's the basis for your rewards in time and in eternity. These rewards are far beyond anything you can ever imagine in eternity. And on the earth, God will drop into your lap wealth, health, success, a wonderful friend, a wonderful spouse. It's all there waiting for you. It's there. But here's the irony. If you don't have capacity to enjoy it, these things will make you miserable. That's the manna here. To those that love Bible doctrine, this was the sweetest tasting stuff they ever tasted. To those that hated Bible doctrine, it tastes like miyino. They hated it. Same thing with a believer. If you're positive to doctrine, you love this stuff. Grace, grace, great. You love it. If you're negative, you hate it. How dare you say that I'm no good? How dare you tell me I can't do works? How dare you? How dare you? I'm going to help out God. I'm going to get outside that jet airplane and push. Because God just can't do without me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And they're idiots. Absolutely idiots. What does Jesus love? Himself. God's not a hypocrite. God loves perfection. You're saved because He sees that in you. And when He sees you here, learning Bible doctrine, He loves that. But the fact that you've got curly hair, or you're just such a generous personality, and you're kind to old ladies, that's the other side of the coin of evil. It's human good. You're going to match your human good with God's divine good? So, but don't overthink. Please be a good citizen. Help old ladies when their car breaks down. I do it all the time. But it doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't give you knowledge of God. So you should be a good citizen, but it doesn't save you. It doesn't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is you name a known sin. That's what makes you spiritual. And how do you get to be a mature believer? By learning the mind of Christ. So point 7 gives you all these things. You have confidence in time. When you know that you're eternally saved, you know, you have confidence. You have a personal sense of destiny. God is your executive officer. He knew about you a billion years ago. Oh, but Lord, I have this problem that just hit me. Yeah, I knew about that 5 trillion years ago. I'm not caught short. I've made provisions for your problems. So, you reflect the divine viewpoint. You reflect God's viewpoint of the world. You orient yourself to the plan of God. You produce stability in your life. You're not running from here to there looking for a frantic search for happiness. I'm just not happy. Bible doctrine doesn't work. No, Bible doctrine works. You don't work. Because you only come to Bible class once every month. And it don't work that way. You've got to take in doctrine every day, every day, every day. Oh, we don't have Bible classes every day. We got tapes. I got 7 or 8 years of tapes. So there is no excuse for anyone neglecting Bible doctrine for even a day. If you can't get to a tape, study your notes. You've got the doctrine in front of you. Study them. Look up the verses. Metabolize them. It leads to an oriented occupation with Christ and an ability to love God. You can't love what you don't know. You attain maturity and you hold the high ground of spiritual maturity. Because Satan and you will try to knock you off the high ground of spiritual maturity. And you have your rewards. Point 8 is the key to reaching maturity is this word, pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. Faithfulness. All you got to do is be faithful in a little thing. That's Matthew 25:1. When you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, here's what Jesus is going to say to you, I hope. Shirley Jones, you have been faithful in a little thing. I will make you rulers over vast portions of the new universe. What's the little thing you've been faithful in? Coming to Bible class, learning Bible doctrine. That's all you got to do. Just learn. Synonyms for Bible doctrine. Take up the cross and follow me. Construct an altar in your soul. The edification complex of the soul. Greater grace. Military terms. Language. Kakma. Epinosis. Synesis. Redeeming the time. God gave you your time. You're going to die. And between the time that you're alive now and when you die, He gives you X amount of time on the game clock. and your game clock's running. And when it's up, it's up. So, he's going to ask you a question. What did you do with the time that I gave you? And you better be able to answer, Lord, I did what you told me to do. I rebounded. I learned Bible doctrine. And then he will say, I know you did. And you applied it too when I gave you test. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I've got something for you you can't even imagine. We are said to be the salt of the earth. When salt's lost its flavor, that's a believer that rejects Bible doctrine. What are you good for? Nothing. You're no good for anything. Salt without flavor is worthless. And then living outside the camp is a synonym for those that hate Bible doctrine. Point 10, the issue is always your growth. And point 11, Bible doctrine is not for sale. We just finished up in Corinthians the doctrine of giving. You're never commanded to give money. Giving money is a grace orientation to recognize what Christ did for you. And that's what giving's all about. It's a recognition of what Christ did for you. What did he give for you? Where'd you get the money to give in the first place? And who do you give the money to if you are motivated to give? We've covered that. It's on the tapes and it's in the doctrine of giving. But Bible doctrine is never for sale. If you're in a church that says, you know, buy our book, buy my this, buy my video, buy this, buy that, it's evil. Bible doctrine is not for sale at all. And there's no percentage on giving. If you do want to give to a church organization, there's no percentage. You can give a dime or a dollar or $100 or $1 million. No percentage. But when they try to sell you something, it's evil. Not for sale. The last word that Christ uttered on the cross was Bible doctrine. Psalm 31:5 compared with Luke 23:46. The last words that Christ said was, into your hands I commit my spirit, O God of Bible doctrine. That's the last word he said before he physically died. O God of doctrine is what he said. That's a quotation from Psalm 31:5 compared with Luke 23:46. That's the last words that our Lord said. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. And that's in the book of Proverbs. This talks about Bible doctrine. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? Who's wisdom? Bible doctrine, the mind of Christ. Does it call you? Does it lift up his voice and say, hey, over here, idiot. I'm going to teach you something. 2, on top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Bible doctrine is available where the paths meet. Crossroads. In the ancient world, everybody hung out at the crossroads. That's where you put up your lemonade stand to get the most business. Bible doctrine's there. God doesn't pay to hide the ball with you. Oh, well, God, why didn't I get this 20 years ago? Because you weren't ready for it. It's God's timing. He gives you the information when you're ready. He introduces you to a communicator when you're ready for it. God's timing is perfect. 3, beside the gates at the opening of the city. There's another place. At night, they close the city gates. Daytime, they open the city gates and up for commerce. And Bible classes were held in the ancient world at the city gates. If a communicator would be up there, and people would be standing around. Verse 4, it's at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. Anybody want to listen to Bible doctrine? Anybody? That's what God the Holy Spirit basically is saying to all believers. Anybody home? Hello? Any believers out there with positive volition? Sadly, the answer is, ain't nobody home, Lord. Very few. Verse 4, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. In other words, available to every believer, it's available. It's there. 5, O naive ones, understand prudence. O fools, understand wisdom. We're all naive. We've all been sold a bill of goods. God's the father of all. No, he's not. We're all brothers. No, we're not. We're all sold a bill of goods about being good, doing good, thinking good, and going to heaven. That's all a bill of goods. We're naive. And we're fools. You can become a non-fool by understanding what? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Bible doctrine. 6, listen, for I will speak noble things. You've got to hear it, folks. Got to come into the ear gate. And the openings of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will offer truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Anything that is not divine viewpoint is evil. 8, all the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. God is perfect. Everything he says is perfect and true. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They're all straightforward to him who understands. And right to those who find knowledge. If you're positive doctrine to doctrine, this is like my sheep hear my voice. You hear this stuff and you go, oh my golly. Where were you all my life? Good looking. That's just an analogy for humans when they find somebody that they like. Where were you all my life, God? Well, I was right there tapping my fingers. This is my timing. I give it to you when the timing is perfect, and God knows when it's perfect for you to get Bible doctrine. Verse 10, take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Applying Bible doctrine requires wisdom. Wisdom is know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Discretion. And of course, that's rightly dividing the word of truth, which we do that verse every morning. You got to understand, when you navigate through life, what are you supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. Bible doctrine will tell you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That means the respect of the Lord. You hate evil. You either love Satan and his cosmic system, or you love God. You can't be in both of them. You can't love both of them. You love one, hate the other. 14, counsel is finer, is mine, and sound wisdom. Verse 13. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. This is language of accommodation, so this shows the divine viewpoint. God doesn't hate. It's a sin. But it reveals to us God's divine attitude. God has nothing to do with perverted mouth. Lies. Lies, lies, lies. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. This is a power system, God's system of the divine dynasphere. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. God only approves the believer when he looks into your soul and sees that you love him. How does he know that you love him? Because you've got him in your soul. You've got this and a whole lot more. Knowledge of God. Therefore, God advances you to maturity. That's what this means. And those who diligently seek me will find me. This is a guarantee. If you want Bible doctrine, you will get it. Because God is not a liar. If you in your soul says, you know, I want to learn about my Creator, he will drop it right in your lap. Right in your lap. Riches and honor are with me. Where's all the wealth and the riches of honor? With Satan or with God? With God. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Enduring wealth. It never fades away. Bible doctrine never fades away. Gold, silver, that's all gone. Can't take it with you. You can take doctrine with you. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasures. We're going to stop here. But God will fill you up with wealth. My cup runneth over, as David said. What is the cup? The cup is your capacity. Can God pour these blessings into your hand? It'll splash everywhere. In order for you to catch a liquid, you've got to have a vessel, right? What's the vessel? The vessel is Bible doctrine. You construct the cup of Bible doctrine, and then he pours in these blessings. And God pours in so many blessings, it overflows out of the cup. So we want to have a cup that doesn't have any holes in the bottom. Then you pour in, it pours out the other side. Most believers do not have a cup. Some believers got a thimble, about this big. You got a thimble, God can't pour too many blessings in there. The bigger your cup, the more blessing. And God is a God of grace. He will overflow that cup so it comes out. In fact, Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy will chase after me all the days of my life. You don't chase after it. It chases after you. That wonderful spouse that you haven't got yet, they're out there, and they will chase you down. That money, that job, that friendship. God is waiting to pour all those things into your cup. But if you don't have the cup, there's no capacity. So even if he poured it into your hand, it would splash everywhere, do you no good. You've got to have the cup. And the cup is Bible doctrine. That's more precious than anything. And for the life of me, one thing I will never understand is believers that reject Bible doctrine. Really? I don't get it. Who would say no to their Creator? Who would say no to learning about the mind of God? Who? Well, apparently about 90% of all Christians in this country today, they'll be in heaven. And they'll be losers for all eternity. Not me. I don't know what I'm going to get, but I'm going to get something. Why? Because I've done what God told me to do. Oh, but you're a sinner. You think? Of course I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But I use the rebound technique, and I keep plugging forward. I keep moving forward. I don't let my failures get me down. So I'm a jackass. So are you. You know? Have a relaxed mental attitude about life. You know, have a little fun with it. You know, so what? I screwed up again. Oh, well. Pick yourself up. If you're still alive, God's got a plan for you. What's that plan? To construct this cup so He can bless you beyond imagination, because He wants to bless you. He wants to promote you in the devil's world, right under the devil's nose. And the devil can't stop you. Only one person can stop you. And you know who that is? Yeah, you know who it is. Okay, with our head bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank You for the opportunity of studying Your precious Word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things. In Christ's name, amen.